Unfortunately, this is just the latest incident in a region that is really now a belt of insecurity stretching from the West African coast all the way to the East African coast. And Burkina Faso is unfortunately by now one of the hotspots of this region, which large-scale networks, both of Al-Qaeda as well as of the Islamic State, operate. Now, in Burkina Faso, the main operating network and very likely the responsible candidate or the candidate responsible for this attack is JNIM, the coalition that Al-Qaeda built of regional affiliates in 2017, which now actually controls large parts of the country. And even the government of Burkina Faso doesn't advise any travel outside the immediate vicinity of its capital, which is a very dramatic situation. Therefore, this development of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State growing in the northern half of Africa, while we thought we defeated them in Iraq and Syria, continues unabated. And Burkina Faso, unfortunately, is one of the really clear example that this is the case. The other ones being, of course, Mali and Nigeria, as well as Somalia, then on the East Coast. And in between, there's operational areas for the Islamic State as well. So we do have a sizable Al-Qaeda presence in this country, Burkina Faso. We have a rather difficult security environment because a lot of the Burkina Faso military is engaged in UN missions abroad. It has very limited special forces. And as your listeners surely know, there have been two military coups in short succession. So we have absolute political instability in the country all at the same time.
Something you said got my attention. You were talking about this belt from the west to the east. That is a lot of territory, a lot of countries, you know, from Ouagadougou, you know, all the way over to really you were talking about
Mogadishu.
Eritrea. You know, so is Al-Qaeda and these militant groups and involved in all of this? Are they linked in any way, or is this just this belt just a phenomenon that's occurred because of instability in those countries that make up this belt?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was, of course, the basis for this really astonishing expansion over the last 5 years, really, is, of course, the political instability, the absolute economic problems, regional rivalries. So there was a counterforce, the G5 Sahel, which slowly but surely is deteriorating, included 5 countries of Sahel who were supposed to cooperate on counterterrorism since the military coup in Mali. Now, Mali has left the G5, which is now a G4 in effect. Burkina Faso's role is unclear because they just had another military coup. It's not clear whether they're going to stick with the G5 or also leave. There is an attempt of Russia to push in the region via the Wagner Group. They already are in Mali. The government in Burkina Faso toys with the idea. Everyone seems to reject French intervention in the region. The French military operations Barkhane ended because that ended and because of the military coups. The EU is suspending its training mission in the region. So it is really, really a difficult situation. The biggest UN mission in the region, MINUSMA, is under enormous pressure from the coup military government in Mali at the moment. They don't want them to be there anymore. They refuse troop rotations in and out of the blue helmets. All of this is going on. And both Al-Qaeda as well as the Islamic State saw this now prevailing instability as an opportunity. So 2014, 15, the Islamic State tried to push in the region. The first real attempt was Boko Haram saying, we want to be part of the Islamic State. And from that one in Nigeria, it transitioned out and now has 3 affiliates in the region. Islamic State in the Greater Sahara operating northeastern Mali, Islamic State West Africa province operating from Nigeria in the entire Sahel region now, including the Lake Chad Basin, then swiftly followed, geographically followed by the Islamic State Central Africa, operating Congo, north of Uganda, as well as Mozambique. And then on the other end, on the coast, we have both a small ISIL affiliate in Puntland, in the northern part of Somalia, that reacts as some kind of regional cooperation, coordination force for these various ISIL affiliates. And then you have the largest in numbers Al-Qaeda affiliate, I think even worldwide, which is Al-Shabaab, which runs now more than a third of Somalia. So we do have, from the west to the east coast, various different Al-Qaeda and then ISIL and then again Al-Qaeda affiliates, creating tremendous amounts of violence and instability. And we've been watching.
So you mentioned the Wagner Group in Mali, and they are clearly linked to the Russian government, and we see them fighting in Ukraine, and we see this presence in Central Africa. What are they after there?
Look, I mean, first of all, I say linked to the Kremlin is a very generous formulation. They are basically the cover story for the Kremlin's military brutal interests. Anything that is really even too brutal for the Russians, and as Ukraine clearly shows, that's a lot of brutality if it's too much for the Kremlin, that's Wagner. Yeah? So if the Kremlin doesn't want it of its old soldiers, it sends Wagner. And yes, they're legally a private company, but they only operate where the Kremlin wants to operate. So there are really two strategic aims. First, if you look at the contracts that Wagner conducts, payment is always in some way, shape, or form linked to the exploitation of natural resources. They either get paid in rights or tenders, or they get paid in the actual resources, plus, of course, money. So that's one strategic interest. On that one, by the way, China is much more strategically engaged here in this region and is much more entrenched in making sure that it has natural resources under its control should it need them. And then the other one is, of course, political influence, right? So in Mali, the Mali government, more or the coup government, more or less pushed out. The French said they withdrew on their own decision, but this was a decision made on the understanding that next thing that's going to happen is that the government of Mali actually throws them out, right? So you're pushing out the French, and then you're trying to take advantage of this security vacuum by getting your own Russian-linked troops in, and therefore create some allies where Russia really didn't have many allies since the 80s and 90s, right? Russia was no factor in Africa until a couple of years ago. And so this is an attempt to get a foothold again. And again, with Burkina Faso, same story. The French government offered some of the troops to that they are going to reduce in, or reduced in Barkhane, to relocate to Burkina Faso. And the government said no. And the second coup government said no again. And now invites Wagner to fill the gap on and lets a demonstration happen in front of the French embassy to make the point. So it really is dramatic what's going on here, unfortunately.
How does all this activity impact the United States?
Look, the same argument. I'm at the moment at a big conference in Senegal, and I've made the point here. Yes, this is all far away from Europe as well. But any greater concentration of opportunities, forces, resources, there's a lot of gold in Burkina Faso. They basically have one of the biggest gold deposits in the world that they could exploit, or oil in Nigeria. The more resources, the more fighters, the more ability to operate, prepare is never good news, neither for Europe nor for the United States. Because neither Al-Qaeda nor ISIS have given up their actual aim and raison d'être of their existence is not to control Burkina Faso. It is to hit us in Europe and us in the United States. Now, there is a sizable migrant community already in Europe from the region of West Africa. And there is definitely a sizable migrant community in the United States from all over Africa. And I may just remind all of those who are watching, there was a particular Al-Shabaab problem in Minnesota among the Somali community a couple of years ago. So these things come always home to roost. You cannot let globally oriented terror networks who have a free operational base anywhere, whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's Africa, it really doesn't matter. The opportunities will come from the ability to plan, prepare, and conduct attacks abroad. And for that, you need a stable operation environment. They have that already in Afghanistan. They are more or less getting this now in the northern half of Africa. This is not good news.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.